Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. These sports animals, VFL QB, is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
It's a Friday edition of the Eric Ainge Show. Brian Rice and myself, EA, not out on remote on a Friday, which is very rare for us. Brian, what's up, man?
Oh, you know, just working at the house, you know.
Just a little hanging out, right?
Yeah. Hey, next week, I've got I'm filling in for Phil Williams in the morning, so I'll be, by the time you talk to me, I'll already be 3 hours into radio.
Oh, man.
So, it'll be great.
What's Big Philly style doing?
I assume it's vacation time.
Vacay, huh?
Little vacay. Rolling on the vacay.
No invite for me, Phil? Come on, man.
No.
Come on. We're tighter than that.
Are you?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. He's my golfing buddy.
So it is a big Friday. What are your big weekend plans?
Well, the kids are going to be exhausted because they went back to 3 days straight of school when they have been off for basically 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. So they'll be exhausted, but I don't know. We'll go do something. We'll go hang out. Get outside. Kind of probably go play some golf at Avalon or something.
In a minute we'll take
a look
at the game.
That's what we normally do.
In the middle.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, we'll go ahead and take a look at it. Does college football actually need a commissioner? We banded about that topic earlier this week with all the uncertainty. And I'm not sure that I'm at a yes on that. I thought I was for a long time, but I may have a differing opinion on that now. What do you think?
I mean, on the surface, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, having someone when there's that much uncertainty. I mean, you have all these Power Five commissioners talking to each other, trying to figure stuff out. It would be nice if the five of them had one person that was kind of in charge of organizing them.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that coming up. Because it is an interesting topic as we continue to deal with the what is fall sports going to look like? Will there be fall sports across the NCAA? There won't be any fall championships, including the FCS football championship. They are going to attempt to play that in the spring. We'll see. But they're going to attempt to play all of those in the spring. I would come back to something we talked about earlier this week. Okay, if you're not going to do it now, what does it have to look like in the spring for you to successfully do it? What has to change? Where do you have to be? Those questions
I just can't fathom playing football, like your season, in the spring. I know that, like, you got to play it. Maybe that's what makes the most sense financially and to get the kids to play. I mean, I'm just simply pointing out that, like, my love affair with football is very much tied to my love affair of the fall in general. The weather changes, the leaves change, it's beautiful outside. You get 3 straight holidays coming up with Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, like, the September through December is by far my favorite time of year. And not playing football during that would just be, it would be weird. It wouldn't be complete.
Right.
The nostalgic feeling of walking up to a stadium, and I saw yesterday there's going to be no tailgating.
That's not really what was said, but they clarified that.
Well, then you'll need to clarify that for me.
Yeah, the chancellor and the campus clarified that statement later. They were saying there was going to be no organized tailgates. They're not going to. The university itself is not going to do any alumni events or anything like that around football games. But tailgating itself with fans is not. There haven't been any decisions on that yet.
So like Tailgate Tennessee and Circle Park.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's out.
That is because I mean that technically that is the it's the official tailgating spot of the university, even though it's privately owned.
Yeah, that wasn't specifically spelled out, but they're talking about the fundraising type tailgate events that the university puts
on. The things that they have people like me go to and hang out with people, and there's 100 people,
do
and they're all eating. Yeah, okay.
So they still don't know if they're going to be able to invite people into the stadium. So you can't plan some of your big events that involve people coming to the stadium.
Don't you think, and maybe I'm wrong, and people could call us and answer this if they had an opinion on it, but don't you think people, even if you couldn't, let's say it's a zero fan situation. Mm-hmm. Let's just say we're not going to do fans. Don't you think people would still go tailgate and just watch the game on a TV?
Yeah, some people would want to. The
maybe not, obviously not as many, but
right. Here's the thing on that, and this came up with who was it? There was a school that announced that no matter what, if they played football, there was going to be no tailgating. It's probably two or three months ago, and it was about they didn't want to bring outside people to campus. If they're trying to have a safe campus environment. So they didn't want to bring people from outside onto campus if they didn't have to. And that was their reasoning behind it. Whether it makes sense or not.
I think that kind of makes sense. I don't think you could say that it doesn't make sense. I don't know that if it's confined to a certain area, I don't think it puts any kids or students or anybody else at any more risk of getting the coronavirus. I mean, there's more of a risk of them passing it to each other through the tailgate.
Yeah.
But I understand conceptually.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll unpack that.
Still think I would go tailgate.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I'd be sitting here at home with the two TV set up watching as many games as we're on, like normal.
Yeah.
But if I can't go in the stadium, then I'm not going to leave my couch. We're going to get some pizza, or we're going to get some wings, or Kelly's going to make
something. That's going to be interesting. Are they not going to have any media up there to cover the team?
Yeah, they will. It'll be probably 50%.
Limited, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good chance I'm not making that cut for our station. So we'll talk about all that. We didn't get into this yesterday, but I think it's a good topic. And there's some intelligence on this out there, actually, in the time since I put this on the rundown. Will the Big Ten and Pac-12 have massive transfers after their cancellations? My initial thought is yes, and then it's no, and then it's yes, and then there's an interesting story related to that coming out. We'll talk about that. FCS football officially being postponed to the spring. We'll play a little Would You Rather. They're going to play basketball in the NCAA tournament. It looks like Mark Embert said yesterday using bubbles for championships is, quote, perfectly viable. We'll get into that. Syracuse players sat out of practice because the university hasn't responded to their request for more frequent testing. All of that and more coming up today on the Eric Cain Show, and that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
42nd Street has something really fun coming, and I don't have the information yet. It's happening yesterday and this morning, but it's going to be a really cool little deal. It's a Big Orange fan concept, and it's going out to, and there's a percentage of the, it's to raise money for charity, and it's yard signs and bumper stickers and stuff like that. It's a really cool deal, and all the information will be at 42sd.com and theericainshow.com. You can check all of that out. And again, for your business, if you own a business, and you don't do social media, you're missing out on an entire like sect of people. You're missing out on an entire group of people. Maybe your website's just average at best. You're missing out on, well, I would say everybody at that point, because even when we pass recommendations to each other, everybody still goes online, reads your reviews, and checks it out. And that's what Mike does. He helps you with all of that so you can ensure that you get the business. 42SD.com.
The Arcane Show continues next. FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Nickelback.
Is this Nickelback? On Foo Friday, you're playing Nickelback?
I don't like it any more than you guys do.
This show is a Nickelback reason.
I don't like it any more than you do, but Brian, you have only yourself to blame.
Why?
You know why.
I don't know why.
Mm. Oh, it's going to keep going until you figure out why.
I don't know.
Is this new Nickelback?
No.
Uh-oh. I don't know.
I don't know what new Nickelback is.
I don't know. Apparently there's new Nickelback.
I do not listen to Nickelback.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Ew. Can we Foo Friday for the rest of the day, though, please?
Nope, not till Brian realizes his mistake.
We can guess all day.
Okay. I'm going to need you to figure that out, Brian, because I want my Foo Friday.
My favorite story of yesterday was this. The Seahawks waived rookie Kamai Savarand for trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel.
And he didn't just, try to sneak her through the back door or, you know, whatever, put a big jacket over the top of her. They dressed her up in Seahawks gear to make her look like an employee or a player. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I'm not inviting a chick into the team hotel if she can pass for a player.
That's for sure.
Right? I mean, that's the first thing is if she can pass for a middle linebacker, you need to pass on that.
It's probably not the right first thought, but it is the first thought.
And then obviously you're breaking protocol in a time in which only established veterans and high draft picks could get away with that and not get cut.
Not a guy who was an undrafted free agent who received a $2,000 signing bonus.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, like that, you're done. You're already probably done anyway. You're probably on the cut list anyway. Why would you make it any easier for them to cut you? He probably won't get picked up by anybody else, too. He's, an undrafted free agent. This is just such an interesting time in sports because, normally we're used to athletes getting away with whatever they want, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in general, they just get away with everything. And not the case right now. I mean, you're seeing starting pitchers in Major League Baseball get sent home. You're seeing guys get cut. You're seeing guys, it's everyone's actually holding their guys to the standard, which I think would be good all the time, but especially right now, I mean, it's necessary.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw it, but those Cleveland pitchers have been basically unapologetic for what they did.
Yeah.
Said the media, it's the media's fault. Literally, the guy went on a rant yesterday about it being the media's fault.
For telling everybody?
Yeah. For making a big deal out of this.
Oh. Well, then he's just sorry he got caught. He's not sorry for doing it.
That's what I thought.
Well, if he does it again, they'll send him home again. But again, if that guy would have been, if the pitcher that did it for the Indians had been called up from AAA and to be a middle reliever and they were going to try to get an inning or two out of him, then that guy's done.
Yeah, he's cut.
If you're in the starting rotation, you just get sent home. If you're a first round draft pick in football and you're a corner, then you're not getting cut. You're just getting sent home, or you're getting put in quarantine, or that little list they have I forget what it's called, the COVID, like COVID list.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know, like if you've been exposed or you do have it, you get, you know, quarantined until they can guarantee that you don't have it anymore. It's an interesting time because in professional athletics, people are actually going through.
Yeah, they're being held accountable when they never would have been before. This is just really interesting. How are you dumb enough? How can you not go without certain things to make a six-figure salary, and all you've got to do is get through, like, 3 more weeks of it? I mean, come on.
It seems pretty silly.
Hope it was worth it. Because
you know it wasn't.
No, of course not. Well, I don't think he ever actually got her in. I think they got caught before she came in.
Yeah. I mean, regardless, it's just, like, priorities.
Did you get the certain things are undefeated speech when you were at UT?
I don't think so.
I used to have to go to when I was the writer, I used to have to go to a lot of the team meetings because we would pick little things out of them to feature as in the why you should come to Tennessee part of the website. And I remember that phrase was spoken by several speakers that came in that if that's all you're thinking about, you're going to be in real trouble. And it has caught up Seattle's Kemah Sivirand. So.
Yeah, that's a hard name to pronounce.
Yeah, well,
if you're a free agent, yeah, no one has to learn it.
Broadcasters, not worried about it now.
No one has to learn that name.
Yeah. So, that was my favorite story of the day yesterday. Welcome back. Does college football actually need a commissioner? It's been discussed widely over the last few years, and some would say they've never needed one more than they do right now. We'll talk about that next. 656-9900 if you want to join us on this Friday edition of the Eric Haines Show. Just turn it off.
We must stand together. Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. 991thesportsanimal.com if you're looking for the podcast. If you miss any of the show today or any of our live and local shows, you can always check them out online.
All right, does college football actually need a commissioner? We've seen a lot of people talk about it would help with some of the surprises that have gone about over the last few months, including the Big Ten initially announcing they were going to conference-only scheduling, and then eventually they canceled altogether. Nobody seemed to be on the same page. Nobody seems to be looking out for the best interests of the sport as a whole. So do they need that person?
I mean, I think that it would help with communication between the decision makers. I mean, who has been the people that are deciding to not play football?
Presidents.
The presidents of the universities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a college football commissioner dealing with all the commissioners who can deal with the presidents of the universities, like I think it would be good if they had someone to kind of organize that and facilitate that, like someone that they all had to look up to maybe not make the decision for them, but guide them down the, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because if the presidents of the universities are the ones that are doing this, then I don't know what a football commissioner actually does to change their opinion.
Yeah. Well, and that's the question that would have to be asked first is, what kind of power would they actually have? Is it someone that facilitates communication, or is it somebody that sets policy? Because the play-not play side of it, I don't think you're ever going to get that power away from the schools or the campuses. But getting everybody on the same page and mandating that they all get to the same page, I think is something that a person could help with. But I think the idea that it's going to be somebody that has the same kind of power that a Roger Goodell has or that Gary Bettman has or Rob Manfred, I don't think is realistic. And also, college sports is unique in that different areas of the country have different priorities for different things. You know, what works for the SEC doesn't necessarily work for the Pac-12. They're very different constituencies. Yeah,
people like football in the West Coast. They like it.
Yeah.
People live football down south. It is very different.
But even just little geographic things, like, for example, the Big Ten doesn't like playing games at night after a certain date in October, typically after the time changes. They make some exceptions, but typically the Big Ten doesn't play night games after the time changes.
What's the reasoning for that?
Weather.
I mean, I guess I could see that in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that was always their tradition. Now, again, they've changed that in the last few years, but until really 4 or 5 years ago, you never saw Big Ten games at night in the month of November, ever. And I don't think a lot of people knew that, especially down south, you know, because we're playing night games every week. But then you look at the schedule and go, well, I guess they don't play night games right now. So the other thing is different conferences have different experts, as we've seen with COVID-19. And if you had one central rules bank for all of Power 5 college football, nobody would be playing this year. It would have gone the other way because a commissioner would have seen that Pac-12 teams didn't have the ability to practice together on their campuses in some places. If you had one set of rules for everything about a college football program or a college sports program, then you would almost have to bow to the most stringent regulations that anybody in the country has, whether it's on getting together as groups, whether it's on contact tracing. You know, we mentioned on Wednesday about the Pac-12 being concerned that some but not all of their California schools would be bound by local health regulations that would require the entire team to be quarantined, where in other counties that wouldn't be the case. A commissioner wouldn't be able to change that. So the more and more I look at this set of circumstances, the more I think somebody nationally to try to coordinate would be helpful, but a true commissioner with powers might not only make it not better, but might make it worse.
I mean, I guess you just have to find out what exactly we need help with. I think the rule changes and stuff like that, I mean, they're fine. Don't you agree with that? I mean, football's fine. The officiating is kind of meh sometimes, but that's okay. I mean, it's a game played by humans, reffed by humans. I don't even know what needs fixing.
Well, I think this
you're not going to take the power away from the presidents of the universities. That's not going to happen.
But most of the time, they don't weigh in on sports. It has to be a serious situation for them to weigh in on the sports that take place on their campuses. We've seen them more involved this year than ever because facing a worldwide global health crisis.
Well, I would challenge the presidents in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 as to what they really care about, because there are schools in both conferences that are having students on campus.
Right.
But the football team can't play football?
Well, they're trying to not send their student athletes to do a hazardous activity against other schools that they don't know what the public health implications of it are.
I mean,
there should
be conference-wide. There should all the teams should be doing the same stuff.
Yeah,
a
they
conference
should.
Only schedule, the Big Ten teams ought to be doing all the same stuff. So when they go play each other, they're playing another group of people that are doing all the same things that they've been doing. And you're not interacting, you're not vol walking, you're not doing all that. You're very strict going from a hotel that's deep cleaned to the stadium that's deep cleaned, and you know, you got to take their temperatures and you test them on Fridays. So anyone that does have it, you contact trace and you quarantine and you don't allow them to come. And everyone else that's tested that passes gets to play football that week. I just don't know how you can justify having kids on campus. Like, every one of those schools in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten should be virtual only.
See, I disagree with that. I don't equate those two things at all. I don't think they're anywhere close to the same thing. And I think it's a false equivalency to say if then. I think you can have the kids on campus and not have them play because you can distance students from each other in classes. You can have some online classes. You can do what UT's doing. They're not using small classrooms. They're only using larger classrooms, and they're putting them in at reduced capacity. You can realistically come up with a plan where your students are properly socially distanced. They all wear masks at all times. And you can't do that on a football field where you're going to be standing right next to each other and you're going to be colliding with other people. So
I know, but the kids on campus aren't getting tested three times a week and don't have the same restrictions.
I understand.
You don't think they're still going to hang out together? I mean, the kids at Alabama were having COVID parties a month ago.
I understand. I don't disagree with any of that. I don't think saying that they're students are on campus so you can play football, or students can't play football so they can't be on campus. I don't see those two things as the same at all.
I just don't think that they're saying it's because they care about the football players and they don't want them to, you know, it's about their health and all that stuff, but yet they're having thousands of kids interact with each other on campus. They're not going to socially distance. They might walk for an hour while they're in the classroom.
Yeah, and that's all they can control is when they're in the classroom.
Well, if they're not there, then it's virtual, and then they aren't getting sick. I'm just saying, can't say that it's about the health of – we care about the health of one people and then turn around and have kids on campus. I think that's a complete contradiction.
Okay, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree there because I couldn't possibly disagree with that more.
Yeah, I just don't think that they care about the actual health of the students.
Well, then why are they doing it?
Because they don't want to get sued by football players that get the coronavirus. That's why they're not doing it. They don't want to get sued by football players that get the coronavirus. And we can't make them sign waivers. We've talked about this. I just think it's silly to have them. We can disagree on it. It's fine. I think that it's silly to have kids on campus and turn around and say, but it's not safe to play football against teams in our conference that are all following the same guidelines and getting tested. And I don't see how you can't do that.
Well, I would just say, I mean, if they are equally worried about litigation from actual students as well. Because, I mean, regular students can sue them as well. I just think they're two separate issues that have been put together. You know, not everything has a correlation, I guess. All right, we'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us. More of the Eric Haines Show next.
So, move on.
All right, Florida State's a dumpster fire. Their players have come out and spoken out publicly against things that Mike Norvell has done and said. With their COVID practices, said they're not taking it seriously. He says they are. They're going back and forth on it.
So who's saying that about them?
Their players. Their players have come out on Twitter and taken to Twitter to do it.
Saying that the coaches and the staff's not taking it serious?
Yes.
See, that's what's gonna ruin it for everybody is a Colorado state or now a Florida state that don't think that you need to wear masks or socially distance or test your players or like, of course you have to do all that. I don't understand the no mask crowd. I think that's real. I just think that's silly. It's really not a hill to die on. I just don't think it's a hill to die on. But some people do. And if those people that are not taking it serious are in a football program, then they're going to ruin it for everybody.
Wide receiver, including star Tamarian Terry, spoke out publicly on a lack of transparency in coronavirus testing at the school. On Wednesday night, DJ Matthews tweeted he had tested positive for COVID-19. His tweet was quickly deleted. He followed Thursday morning with a second tweet suggesting there were lies within the program. Terry retweeted Matthews, offered his own vague concerns, writing, quote, "I can't believe this." Warren Thompson offered clarity in an open letter to Florida State. This is a current player, by the way, saying he had been lied to about testing and health protocols on multiple occasions. Quote, "Our leadership is based off an I mentality when they're only worried about their own future rather than their own athletes. I have been ridiculed about speaking up regarding this issue, and it needs to be addressed for myself to safely continue the season."
Ay, ay, ay. I mean, if one school in the ACC does this, don't you think it makes it harder for the commissioner of the league and, well, the president of Florida State to play football?
Yeah.
Like, I blame that on a lot of people. I mean, like this is non-negotiable. If you want to play football, there should be restrictions and mandates and protocols and all sorts of stuff, just like there are for how long you can practice and when you can wear pads and when you, class checkers and drug testing and all the decision making. There should be protocols and mandates for the coronavirus and its impact. And that should be just as non-negotiable as all the other stuff. It should be just what you do. Like, I think it's been good every time Tennessee puts out a picture of the guys, they're socially distanced in the field turf part of the facility. That, you know, like Inky Johnson came to talk to him, and he's standing back away from him, you know, while he's talking. It's really not that hard if you want to play. Maybe Mike Norvell's going, "Man, I really don't want to play."
Mike Norvell,
first year coach.
After practice, he criticized the public commentary of his players, repeatedly calling it disappointing and saying that while he had not read the language specifically, he had been told some things were untrue. He did not learn of the tweets until after he left practice. Quote, "We're working through the policies and procedures that are in place for us, but I've been very transparent with every player I've talked to."
Well, who else are they talking to then? Isn't that the second time Mike Norvell's had a problem with them?
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
That's not a good start.
No.
If you're Mike Norvell at Florida State, you got an uphill battle as it is. I mean, the cupboard wasn't bare, but it wasn't full of guys that are used to winning. So they may have some good athletes, but they're used to losing. And that alone is hard to a hard culture to change.
Yeah.
You get the "here we go again" attitude.
Yeah, this is after in June, Marvin Wilson, their defensive tackle, who is one of the faces of the program, threatened a player boycott after Norvell had misrepresented meetings between coaches and players after the George Floyd incident. Norvell then met with the team the next day to clear the air and said the situation was largely a misunderstanding and thanked Wilson for bringing it to light.
Norvell's a smooth talker.
He said at the time, quote, players have a right to post whatever they want to post. Everybody has a platform they can use. I support our players and their voice, the integrity of how we operate. I stand by it every day.
I mean, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. It usually does. But when you have one side that says one thing and one side that says another, usually it's somewhere. It may be leaning one direction or another, but it's usually in the middle somewhere. There shouldn't be any gray area with your COVID-19 protocols and testing, I guess is what I'm saying. That should not be a thing that's negotiable or kind of important. It's the only thing that's going to cancel football.
Yeah, if they get an outbreak, then they're not going to play.
Yeah, they're not going to need to play. And if they do get to play, it's going to be with weeks off, and they won't play as many games. I mean, I just don't. If you really care about football and you really want to play football, then it's not that complicated. You just follow all the protocols. You test them 3 times a week. You do what the SEC is doing right now. Like, I have confidence that when we play our 10-game schedule, that the other teams are going to be following strict guidelines and protocols, and they're going to be getting tested. Because in this conference, anyway, I know all 14 teams and their players want to play football. So they're going to be doing it the right way, and they're going to be getting tested. And if they have COVID, then they're not going to get to be around anybody. They're going to have to quarantine. And then, again, they all got tested. So you know who has it and who doesn't. From a Friday COVID-19 test for a college football player, there should be zero time from their test on Friday through the end of the game where they're not accounted for and in a safe, clean environment. So you just got to try to get them to Friday each week.
All right, hour number 2 of the Air Gain Show is coming next. Will the Big Ten and Pac-12 have massive defections? We talk about that next.